Thanks for your seat. So let's turn now to Exodus as we read on through the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. And reading from verse 31. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. 6 branches shall go out from its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand from its one side, and 3 branches of the lampstand from its other side. 3 cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch, a bulb and a flower. So for 6 branches going out from the lampstand. And in the lampstand, 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs and its flowers. A bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it. For the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand, their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. And then you shall make its lamps 7 in number, and they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. Its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold, and it shall be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which was shown to you on the mountain. So far the word, and that's the text for the sermon this morning. So brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I once saw a picture of Korea, north and south, taken from a satellite at night. And the picture of South Korea showed dozens of lights, some brighter and larger and others dimmer, all dotted over the territory. And this nighttime satellite picture of North Korea was mostly dark, with just a few dim points of light showing where the towns and the cities were situated. Now that satellite image prompted me to think about Philippians chapter 2 verse 15, where it says that we as Christians are to shine like stars in the night sky. Now, I'm not suggesting that we ought to judge the spiritual well-being of a nation by looking at nighttime satellite images, obviously. But in this particular case, I thought that image did reflect a spiritual contrast between the two nations. Christianity is banned in North Korea, whereas South Korea has a relatively high proportion of Christians in that nation, people who reflect God's light. Now, the point, of course, is that reflecting light is what Christianity is really all about. It's what Christians are supposed to do, reflect the light and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this passage in Exodus also teaches us. And I'm going to consider it in 3 parts. First of all, the golden menorah or candlestick represents or reveals God as the giver of life. So in this section of the book of Exodus, we're seeing that God is preparing his people to enter the promised land by being in their midst and giving them his laws. And the place where God was in the midst of the camp, where he was to meet with their people through the mediator Moses and the priesthood, was the tabernacle. And so we've seen that the ark in the tabernacle represented certain characteristics of God, his holiness, his justice, because the law was placed inside the ark, his holiness because of the cherubim, the fact that he was there in the midst of the cherubim when he spoke to Moses, and also his mercy, represented by the mercy seat on the top of the ark. The table which held the bread of the presence reminded the people that God would be their provider. And so now we come to the lampstand. which was to stand in the holy place inside the tabernacle. And this holy place was a place that was covered with several layers of fabric, including linen, goat and ram skins, and then also the skin of the dugong, which is a sea animal, a bit like a porpoise, which was to go over the top to keep the whole thing watertight or waterproof. And this holy place had no windows. So you can imagine it would have been very dark inside this dwelling place of God. Now, since God is light and never leaves his people in the dark, he instructed Moses to set up a light in the holy place, the golden lampstand, opposite the table on which the bread of the presence was laid. Now, this lampstand was to be crafted out of one talent, which is about 30 kilograms of pure gold. Now, according to one historian, the way that it was made was that the gold was hammered out and then set against a wooden mould and then hammered into shape. According to the text, it had to have a base, a central shaft, and six branches, so three on each side coming up from that central shaft. And the central stem and each branch was skillfully crafted to look like almond branches in flower, with three bulbs and flowers on each branch, and four on the central stem. Now, each bulb and flower on the end of these branches were designed to hold a lamp. And so you'd have seven lamps across the top of this candlestick altogether. And these lamps were removable, and they were pinched at one end of the rim so as to hold a wick. And they were to be kept burning to give light inside the holy place, God's dwelling place, in the tabernacle all the time. Now, apart from its obvious function and the fact that it was a beautifully crafted lampstand, does it have any other symbolic meaning? Well, the only way that we're going to know about that is by comparing this passage with other passages in the Bible, comparing scripture with scripture. And the first thing we notice is that the lampstand was made to resemble an almond tree or a fruit tree covered in buds and blossoms. And therefore, it was a symbol, according to other references of trees in the Bible, a symbol of God-given life. For example, we can think of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, a reminder to Adam and Eve that God is the giver of life. And when they sinned, when they were banished from the Garden of Eden, they were also banished from access to this tree. However, thanks be to God, that wasn't the end of the story. Not all was lost, because God had a gracious plan for giving his people new life. So the lampstand was therefore a constant reminder of God as the giver of life. And for Christians living in the New Testament age, God's promise to give life to his people has now been fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Chapter 3 verse 15, "Whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life." Chapter 10 verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live." John 11 verse 25. And so for us, and the thing that the tree symbolizes is that Jesus is the life, the one who gives us life. And the way that he became the life giver was by dying on the cross for our sins, by rising again for our justification to make us right with God, to give us eternal life. Romans 4 verse 25. Now, what that means is that anyone here who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, a saving relationship with Jesus, that person is then spiritually dead. You may have a natural physical life, which, by the way, God has graciously given everyone, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You are not alive to the words of God. You don't have the living and active Spirit of God living in you. And worst of all, you don't have eternal life. You remain under the wrath of God and face the everlasting judgment, which the Bible calls hell. Now, the way to move from death to life is simply to believe in and accept Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15 of the vine and the branches helps us to see how that looks. This is what he said. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit." And so as his spiritual life flows into those who believe in him, who accept him as their Saviour and Lord, as that happens, that spiritual life flows into those, that person begins to blossom spiritually. That person starts to become fruitful spiritually and a blessing to others. And so we can use this as a test to see whether or not we're dead or alive, to see whether or not we are in Christ. Are you a branch which bears fruit? In other words, are you displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there patience? Is there goodness? Is there faithfulness? Is there gentleness? Is there self-control? We don't have all of these things in perfection, but we are called by God to display them when we are in Christ. Do you display the gifts of the Spirit? Are you willing to be part of the body of Christ, which is the church? Are you willing to serve Christ through the church? Again, we can't do this perfectly, not this side of eternity, but is there a willingness? Is there a desire in your heart to serve Christ through the church? Those who do show that they are willing have the Spirit, the life of Christ in them. We can think of Psalm 1. Believers, what are they like? They're like a fruit-bearing tree by the waterside. Now, that theme of life symbolized by a tree is carried through right to the very end of the Bible. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 2, we find the promise of a tree of life, and that whoever believes in Jesus has the right to eat from that tree forever. So the lampstand, crafted into the likeness of a fruit tree, symbolizes the life we have as a gift from God, and it symbolizes the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, a life which leads to eternal life. Without him, we would be dead. By faith in him, we are alive. The second thing the lampstand symbolizes is God's light. Now, this is its obvious and practical function, as I said, to light up the holy place in the tabernacle. In the words of one commentator, it also could have been seen as some kind of a welcome sign, a sign that God was at home with his people. And if you were an Israelite in the camp at night and you looked across to the tabernacle, you'd see this friendly glow illuminating the inside of the tabernacle. Now, the deeper meaning is, of course, that God himself is light. And the scripture says as much. It says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 verse 5. There's also Psalm 27, verse 1, which we sang earlier, God is our light and our salvation. So as with the symbolism, the lampstand also takes us all the way back to creation, where God said, "Let there be light." And on the third day, he put the lights in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars, to brighten the day and provide illumination at night. As well as that, the lampstand not only shows that God is the provider of light in creation, but also that he is the provider of light in salvation. Psalm 43 verse 3 says, "Set out your light and truth, and lead me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places." He was looking for deliverance. An example of that, and the psalmist may have had that in mind as well in the background, and that gave him confidence to his own circumstances. An example that we're all familiar with that comes from the book of Exodus is the deliverance that God gave his people from the darkness of slavery in Egypt and into the light of freedom under God and serving their God. And that, of course, the Exodus, the freedom from slavery that God gives his people, is also a kind of deliverance or a type of deliverance that God gives all of his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet Isaiah wrote this: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." Isaiah 9 verse 2. And further on in that verse, we find out who this light would be. It says in verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." And this is, of course, pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a prophecy about the light that Jesus Christ would bring in the world, into the world. And when Jesus Christ came, well, we read in John chapter 1 that he recognized him as the light right from the beginning of his ministry on earth. And this is what he wrote: "There was the true light coming into the world, which gives light to every man." Now, the Bible describes our spiritual condition without Jesus as living in darkness in John 1 verse 5. And in Romans 1 verse 21 as well, it says that those who suppress the truth about God become futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts are darkened. And this is why people who live without Jesus find it hard to understand or accept the wisdom of God's word. They don't see things clearly. They keep stumbling around in the darkness of unbelief until they come to the light of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. So it's not that the Christian faith is an unreasonable faith. It's not that there isn't ample evidence for the truth of Christianity. It's really because of hardness of heart that people don't embrace it. The only way to have light, the only way to have clarity, the only way to have assurance is to get rid of that darkness and doubt and uncertainty and hardness of heart and to come through faith to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 8, 12. And so the light symbolized by this golden lampstand points us to Jesus, points us to the Lord Jesus, who gives us eternal life. And then, according to Revelation 21, verse 23, we will find that there will not be any further need for a lampstand. It says that God's heavenly city has no need for the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is the Lamb, Revelation 21, 23. So again, the good news is that anyone who believes in Jesus will no longer live in darkness, will not go down in darkness, but will live forever in his light. In the meantime, the Bible says that we who do believe in the here and now are to shine as God's light in the world. And this is what we're called to do in Philippians 2:15, that we through faith in Christ prove to be blameless and innocent children. This is what it means to shine as God's light, that we are blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the churches are like lampstands. This is how they are symbolized in those chapters in Revelation. They're shining lights for Jesus in whatever nation they might have been placed. Ephesus, Smyrna, Laodicea, Philadelphia, and so on, and Whanganui. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You know, a lot of people are living in fear nowadays. They're fearful of all sorts of things, of climate change, fearful of terrorism, fearful about viruses, scared of those, scared about the future, scared what the world is going to be like for their children, scared of each other. The answer to all of this fear over the world's troubles, or even in our own communities, the answer to this fear is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, and as Christians, it's our privilege to be bearers of that light. And if we want to make a difference in this troublesome world, then we must reflect this light and give others a glowing testimony of his grace. Because through Jesus, we have comfort both in life and in death, as the Catechism teaches, that we do not need to be afraid. And in fact, he commands us, do not be afraid. Yes, he warns us that we can expect the same sort of things that he experienced during his ministry. But he says, you do not need to be afraid of that. Our God will complete the work that he begun in us unto the day of Christ's return, or the day that we go to be with him. And so, as well as not being afraid, we want to also make a difference in this troublesome world by reflecting Christ. And we do that when we go out of our way to show kindness to others, no matter who. We shine for him when we do our work cheerfully, when we do it without grumbling or complaining. Our light shines when we give generously for kingdom work, or when we help other people who are in need. And we shine brightly when we tell others the good news of the gospel and what God has done for us to save us through the death and resurrection of Christ. And so this is what the lampstand in Exodus 25 helps us to see: the light and the life of God. Life which God, out of love, freely gives all people. Eternal life which God gives to all who believe in his word. So when we believe, we become like fruit-bearing branches on a vine, or we become like stars in the night sky. As those who belong to Jesus, we're called to live our lives in that way, in a way that others may see that we belong to Jesus, that they may see our good works, and that they may glorify our Father in heaven. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the light that you do give us through the Lord Jesus. We thank you that we do not need to be afraid, live in the darkness of despair or hopelessness or futility and pointlessness, but that we have a real purpose and a true hope and a glorious future through Jesus. We thank you too for the new life that is ours in Christ, and help us to appreciate how precious this is, to enjoy the life that we have in Christ, to enjoy our fellowship, to enjoy the opportunities that we have to worship you and to thank you for the life that we have in Christ. And help us, Father, to also use that to bless others, just as Israel was to be a light to the nations. Help us also to be a light that shines around for others to see, that others may also come to know Jesus through us. Father, hear our prayer and accept our thanks in Jesus' name.